Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Hello, friend. Do not delete this episode of the AfterBuzz TV Mr. Robot After Show. Come join us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah!
We're just gonna
bounce around.
Welcome, everyone, to the AfterBuzz TV coverage of Mr. Robot Season 3, Episode 8. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. I like to do the somber tone that I do in the cold open, but sometimes But sometimes the song makes me so hype that I just have to find the middle ground, which is just my regular voice. But I'm not alone, guys. No. Leslie is here.
Hi, everyone. I am Leslie. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at LeslieTheFace. And we've got a new person here with us today.
Hey, how's it going? Now, Steve, now you know I'm usually hyped up because I do a lot of sports stuff with you.
I'm aware.
But I'm following your lead here because you're the lead host. So I'm going to just introduce myself as Josh_Rodriguez_ on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me there.
I like it because this show is about being like dramatic and tense, but then also randomly getting hype.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
Good point. I think I showed a lot of range in the first 2 minutes of this video.
You really did. Absolutely. I've never seen this side of you, and I like it.
I like it too.
Oh, wow.
Is this real life?
I think it is.
All right. So, did you guys get the email I sent you? Actually, I sent it to a trusted person.
That sent it to us?
That would send it to you in the event you needed it to be sent to you, much like Trenton did.
Was it about this phenomenal episode?
It was.
I have to say, you guys, I loved this episode. I feel like I keep saying this. I think it was my favorite one this season. I feel like it keeps beating out. There was so much heart to it, and I know some people, you know, online were like some of the tropes of like the young person, you know, helping an older one find his way. He's been done, but I felt like this episode had so much heart and warmth, and it just made me so happy. I loved it so much. Putting that out there,
it's amazing. Especially after the episode before this, that was literally such bleakness to the point of like
this was needed
because it was really needed to just have like. This is about as fun outside of the sitcom episode we got last season. Mm-hmm. This is about as fun as this show gets.
It's like delicious, warm, hot chocolate filling my heart up.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, I was actually sad for Elliot for most of the episode, so I didn't have this happy-go-lucky attitude.
But then it ends so... It ends in such a great place, and I'm so happy for Elliot because I feel like he is back to, like... You know, episode one, Vigilante, I've got a mission, I'm doing it, Elliot. And I love it.
I love it, too. So, I'm gonna start where they ended.
Okay.
Which is, he gets Trenton's email. Mm-hmm. He gets the email from Trenton, and he finds out that there's an encryption key that, not Mobley, Romero. Romero, on the day of the 5-9 hack, so on probably 5-8, he created encryption keys that would allow you to go in and fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
In very layman's terms, that's what it was. And the reason I know it this simplistically is if you got that Equine perk today, that's what it was.
Okay.
It was a brief message from the writer's room and like about a 90 second to 2 minute scene where it's Darlene and Elliot talking specifically about what's about to go down.
Okay, cool.
Like a kind of an exposition-y scene that kind of goes into what I just said. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's kind of a spoiler.
So it was a big...
Which is good we air so close to the actual show.
That's all right. This was a big question that was kind of left looming at the end of the last episode, who she sent it to. And I guess, you know, we got that answer of it being Elliot. And I loved it because also by the end of this episode, he's in a better place. And I feel like he's ready now if he might have opened the email a few days before. Prior and he was just in this dark place, he might have just not.
Well, in that completely dark, nothing matters place.
Yeah.
That's not where you don't want to read a call to action email when you think nothing's going to matter. So I think it was super helpful. He goes through this journey with Muhammad. I do have to point out a theory that wild, like, not a not so wild theory that exists on the internet by now, which is the email actually went to Muhammad.
And then he sent it to him?
The instructions were to vet. The instructions were to vet or otherwise flip Elliot to a place that he's actually happy with. He's actually happy with life. And
really?
Then send the email to him. That's a theory.
That's a stretch.
That's a bit of a stretch for a small child.
Yeah. That kid was not that cool.
He was pretty smart.
No, he was smart, but I get what you're saying. But that's a lot of responsibility put on a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy into that.
Maybe
putting it out there. It's
yeah. I
can
see it. Maybe like, you know, send it to my friend Elliot, and maybe the Muhammad had it until after their interaction. I don't know, but the whole like trying to flip them—that's like I don't know if I could do that as a grown person.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And especially because Elliot's so unstable, you're gonna have a little kid do that. I don't subscribe to that theory at all.
That's fair. Let us know in the chat how we feel about.
Yes.
But it was really cool seeing that email because it felt like, I don't know, to me it felt like the hologram of Princess Leia when she's just like, you're our only hope. It was like that last, you know, message and void to get us back on track to defeat the evil empire.
I was kind of hoping that he would just turn back into that you said he was going to turn back into that vigilante, but like kind of taking down E-Corp. It seems like he's still trying to like do good.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see the opposite. I kind of want to see him like try to do another hack and like take down
But that doesn't work. But like, we've seen it.
He has to undo what he did.
I still think they actually might be taking it there. Like, maybe he tries to, like, make this right and rectify the situation. But I don't know. I kind of like that Elliot better. I don't know why. Or the Mr. Robot version of Elliot. I think the show's more interesting when it's like that.
Also, I think the show has backed off a little on Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Specifically because they don't want us. They kind of want to misdirect us to the fact the Mr. Robot and Elliot actually have similar motives at this point.
Yeah.
They both, if they could, want to undo what they did because they realize their revolution was co-opted by a corporation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that, regardless of how they're usually at ends, Mr. Robot and Elliot are actually on the same page.
I mean, they always have been since day one. The only difference was their tactics to approach it, and that's always been a source of conflict, and that just amplified with all of this, you know, collateral damage. But they've always been, like, a believer in what they, in the initial goal of what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I buy that. So, like, I think that's part of why we're not seeing a lot of Robot, and I think that's part of why next week is going to be a lot, like, a massive plot movement. Because the two of them together are able to undo this hack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that'll be just fascinating to watch. You know what else is fascinating to watch?
What?
All three Back to the Futures in a row. Do you want to know what would turn a kid off from the Back to the Future franchise? Starting at 2. Elliot, you're trying to explain to this kid that Back to the Future is the best thing you could possibly ever watch. And you start at 2.
Mistake. I've actually never seen any of the Back to the Futures.
What?
So it's been fun.
What's going on?
Nice having you on the panel, Josh. You may see your way out.
I mean, the first one is a classic, like that one. And they play that one on TV all the time. How? Have you not seen it?
I know it's a classic. I just...
It's fun. It's a fun movie.
I think we need to schedule a watch along. I think that's necessary.
I'm down.
We
might have to wait until October 21st of
I'm down.
Next year. But I think that's definitely... Because October 21st, 2015 specifically... is Back to the Future Day. Because in Back to the Future 2, which I do understand that's why. Well, technically, October 21st is the day they're always traveling to and from. I think it's a glitch in the flux capacitor. Other think it's a much greater meaning, and I think that's partly what this show likes to do. And they even play on that a little. I like this a lot, that they're playing a lot on the fan service. I don't want to call it fan service, but they're playing a lot on all of us that are saying like it's probably time travel. It might be time travel. They're hinting at time travel.
It's not time travel. I feel like I'm really against that idea now, but I think they still want to play with it and sort of just be like, oh, you know, this is what you guys thought. Huh? Let me continue to drop hints, but totally misdirecting us.
Yeah, that and the parallel universe theory. I don't know if you read that one.
Oh, I'm very familiar with parallel.
Those ones I'm not subscribing to.
Oh, I've graduated, to those who listen to this show, they know I've graduated to the Mandela Effect theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But specifically not the parallel universe Mandela Effect theory, but the Mandela, but the false memory Mandela Effect theory.
Right.
That someone could destroy, if someone could destroy all the information and then implant a false memory, that you'd have no way of checking yourself. And that's what I think White Rose is doing.
But
I should have said that.
But you still entertain the thought of this being a simulation.
also entertaining that. I'm somewhere in between. I think White Rose is building has built a small level simulation mm-hmm. that sometimes we're seeing.
Okay.
That's where I am.
All right, cool.
Interesting.
But White Rose is trying to build a full-fledged simulation and literally it's the Matrix from that point.
Okay.
And then everyone would be happy because everyone's in their pod living what they think is their best life.
Slaves.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if they'll be happy. No, but so this episode almost felt like it could have been, and I saw this online too, like a movie in its own. Just like the way they started with the story at the beginning and then just this over arc. And I love that the show is so good at taking an episode that feels so different from everything else
yeah.
and still making it work within the context of the storyline. So obviously in the very beginning of the episode, Elliot's very dark, and even though it's never explicitly said, he's going to kill himself. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And, right?
Yeah.
And so by the end of the episode, his day-long interaction with Mobley's brother just sort of, I don't know, maybe it gives him enough hope, or it's changed his sentiment enough that he's like, you know what, I don't have to do this.
Am I the only one who thought he was imaginary for a little bit? Like half the episode?
No, I thought that. When they were in the movies and then he turns around and he looks and he's gone, I thought that.
Well, especially the way this show works. Do we have anything else to talk about Muhammad? Like, we'll probably circle back to him because while we're talking about movies,
So many tearjerker moments, but I'll come back to those.
We should probably get into Mr. Robot and Elliot.
Okay.
Going to the movies.
That's how the show opens.
That's how the show opens. They're debating between two different movies, and do we think this is how his dad dies?
I don't think so.
It's so tough. I think that scene in itself just showed how Elliot really is such an unreliable narrator, because so many things that happened in that scene contradict his earlier recollection mm-hmm. of what's happened. You know, he said, my dad never talked to me after, you know, the whole pushing or falling, yeah. so I don't know, out the window thing. And then he was so mad at me after that. But in this scene, you saw his father just genuinely trying to win his son back. He was really apologetic, and Elliot was the cold one.
Mm-hmm. Really cold. Like, took his jacket and went inside. Like, that was ridiculous. Well, and Is that a different kid? It didn't look like the Elliot from, little Elliot.
He looked different.
Like,
he did
a
look
lot
different.
And it's not like Elliot aged to the point where he would look different or that dramatically different. So I don't know if that was done purposely. You know, sometimes maybe young actors.
But the show can get away with it now because of unfamiliar memories. But to that point of him being cold and him taking... So his dad has a heart attack, I guess, mm-hmm. and then passes out. Something happens.
Well, his dad had...
He collapses.
Well, his dad had cancer. They were talking about the cancer in that scene.
Right.
Also, Dillaman8, who does some decent sleuthing for us, he was in the chat and he just mentioned that I'm not going to pronounce that name correctly, but Cara Adana confirmed that this was actually the actual canon death of Elliot's father.
Okay.
Even then, I'm kind of going to take that with a grain of salt, just because of the nature of this show. Also, he could have manifested Mr. Robot / his father at any point.
Well, the whole scene kind of hints at the fact that maybe that's the moment Mr. Robot even began, because you said he was very cold, he walked away.
Right.
But what if the little boy saw his dad walk with him into the movie theater and he didn't even realize his dad's laying there on the floor? They're just going to see a movie.
That's an actual true moment we watched from our perspective.
From an
objective perspective. Whereas in reality, he manifested his father, forgot that his father fainted in a public place,
and
walked into a movie with him.
Or maybe that was his first illusion.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the first time he starts, maybe Mr. Robot has been with him ever since then.
Yeah. You're right.
That would explain why he has the jacket. And that whole scene was kind of heartbreaking.
Them putting the M&Ms in the popcorn. Have you guys ever done that?
I absolutely do that.
No, I have never done that.
Have you ever done that? Now I'm like, I really want to do it.
That is so wonderful. Specifically peanut butter M&Ms.
Ooh. Okay.
You got to do peanut butter M&Ms because then you're not just melting chocolate, you're melting chocolate and peanut butter in a candy-coated shell. I actually meant to get some.
Is that why it's good? Because it melts in there?
Yes. That's
okay.
Because you get piping hot popcorn and then you pour. Some people do milk duds or snow caps. Okay.
And it melts. Ooh.
Or whatchamacallit, what are the movie mints, the chocolate minty thing?
I know what you mean. I forgot what they're called.
The
Not the bonbon. Mint
duds. They're not mint duds, but they're essentially like milk duds, but they're mints.
Oh, junior mints.
Junior mints. Thank you. Like, yeah. Some people do junior mints. I worked at a movie theater, guys. I know all the...
You're the pro here. But yeah, so that scene was, you know, it was revealing and sort of disturbing on so many levels because either, you know, little boy Elliot is a sociopath who doesn't care that his dad just died or might have just died, or he's already delusioning his father.
Definitely. We should just take a quick straw poll among us. Was this his first delusion and his father was already dead? Or was this the turn to the very first delusion and his father died in that moment?
I think that was the turn.
I think his father actually died.
I think it was his first delusion. I don't think he died in the movie theater.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think so at all. Because if he died in the... Listen, up until this, I guess, sequence,
he was
always, like, pretty sad about his father. You never saw frustration from Elliot. Like, Elliot was cold. Even before his father had that... Whatever happened to him, he was really cold to his father. We didn't see that from a little Elliot. So for that... reason alone, I'm thinking that it was his first illusion and he was venting his frustration of his father
dying. I see what you're saying.
So I don't know. And then he took the jacket. Like, if your father collapsed like that, you're not taking a jacket and walking into a movie theater and then start talking to someone who's not even there. It just seemed like it was his first illusion.
And then also that could serve to the point where maybe that's why this kid looks older and looks different, because he was older and at a different place in his life.
Good point. There you go.
Okay, so
good teamwork.
Yes.
Also,
I still think it was his first one, but I like both ideas.
Also, Lufthin in our chat is saying he could not have died there. He dies somewhere in May, according to his tombstone.
Ooh,
tombstone.
Oh! Tombstone! He died on 5/9, right? Isn't that his death?
Yeah, I think so. I think his tombstone says May 9. I'll take that.
So then that debunks whoever said that that scene was canon, how he dies.
Mandela effect. I don't know. Which universe we talking?
Oh, wow. Okay. So many questions.
Are you in White Rose's simulation where everything's off one day? Or are you... This show is fun because you don't know.
Yeah.
And they actively... It's, like, it's all an illusion. You're really just supposed to care about the characters as they go through.
Dillo Man says, no, February 20th, 1995. Is that the death? Or is that... Is 5/9 his birthday? I don't remember.
I feel like 5/9 might have been his birthday.
Okay.
Let us know in the comments in the chat where we are. We're working through this. There are a lot of dates. There's a lot of stuff. It could go either way. I don't want to beat the dead horse here.
Yeah.
Got it.
I also do want to point out the art design of this scene in particular, this movie scene.
Mm-hmm.
That to be in a movie theater at any given day is kind of it's kind of an awesome thing. Because if you say I'm at a movie theater on this day in 1995. It would be, you can figure out, it would be playing likely these four films, and then there'd be posters for a variety of these 10 films, and then there'd be a trailer for these 15 films.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot of fun to figure all that out, and they did a great job. I believe people are saying they saw a Casper
Yeah,
poster.
I saw that one.
They saw a casino, a casino poster, big.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that you can push, pause and kind of dive into. Let's get into this Angela Elliott business.
Yes.
So, just like little Elliot was cold, you know, with his father, in the very beginning of the episode, you see Elliot and he, you know, Darlene comes and talks to him and tells him, you know, Angela's a hot mess. And he's just like, I don't care about her. I'm glad she's suffering. He was just so cold and just like, I think because he was ready to just say F it to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then by the end of it, you know, he sort of goes to her and I feel like he forgives her. And that's that moment.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I think, especially going through what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
at this point in the episode, he was tying up loose ends, assuming he'd never be living again.
But Angela wasn't even a loose end. Like, he was ready to die with that, with him just hating her with no resolution there.
Okay. I figured he was seeking a resolution there.
Well, that was after he decided not to
kill himself.
Well, then, I'm okay.
But that scene, though, with them in the hallway was, like, one of the most beautiful shots ever.
Yeah, it was.
They're both sitting, and you see Elliot in red, and she's, like, in this, like, what kind of tone was that? Like, a green? Or it was like, a different,
I don't remember. I think it was dark. It was something like that,
It was, like, dark green. That was just, it was really, and she doesn't talk. She just listens to him. Going on about how, like, when they were little, they used to play this game where they make wishes, and it didn't matter that none of them came true. It was the whole hopefulness or just the act of them saying it out loud to each other that made it fun. And I don't know, it was a really good moment. I really loved it. I thought it was, like, very moving and at the same time very visually stunning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was. I think it was Elliot's way of connecting himself to just a relationship in general because he's so lonely, and I think sometimes he needs that just for himself. So not only was it for her, but I think it was for him just to connect with someone who he grew up with, who he still he loves her, obviously. Yeah. So and she needed it as well. I mean, she's been so distraught over everything. So I mean, it was a nice scene. It was a nice scene.
Yeah, it's a really good
scene. Part of the slaughter of like thousands and thousands of people.
She just has
no biggie.
I mean, she was. So, I mean, obviously she didn't know the extent of everyone that's going to get hurt. But that's why Elliot was so mad at her at the beginning. He was just like, yeah, she should be suffering. But he, you know, was, I feel like he became the bigger person and forgave her.
Why don't you think she opened the door?
Think people were in there?
Ooh.
Think Price was in there?
Ooh.
Her, oh, wow.
Her daddy slash lover from another dimension because they were in the simulation, Price?
I think she's still just she was still very hurt, and she probably couldn't face him. But you know, obviously, she still wanted to hear what he had to say.
Do you think Cisco was in there? Kidding,
he's not dead.
R.I.P.
Too many conspiracy theories.
Here's a good place to point it out because there's no Dom in this episode. Ryan Dillerman, who's very very active in our chat and on our Twitter, he found I believe it was a Q&A at a SAG screening where Grace Gummer may have given out a spoiler to which she said something to the effect of the scene where I killed Cisco, and was immediately, like, immediately everyone else on the panel was like, trying to move her away from it, but it was said, and it was definitely said. I've seen the clip. The clip is on Twitter. How would that work? And how would Dom have killed Cisco?
Yeah, she showed up late to the scene, right?
That's what... We don't know.
It's unless she was, like, the person in the motorcycle who shot him and then pulls over and then gets to the scene. But that seems elaborate.
Yeah, she
didn't buy it. Unless that's not how Cisco died.
She could have misspoke as well.
Yeah. Someone in the chat mentioned that Angela had a bunch of extra locks on her door during that scene. So, I don't know. Maybe she's also concerned for her own safety.
Well, and... Yes,
like, physically.
But also, she created a world in which I think everyone should be more concerned for their own safety.
Yeah.
It looked a bit anarchic. That's a word. It looked like anarchy out there, that it was. There was definitely something to be said about just... There was a 9 p.m. curfew. There were, like, soldiers in the street.
Yeah, so that's been... that was, like, in the backdrop of the whole episode, just, like, all of these sirens. And, yeah, like, it seems like they're in a police state. I want to say, though, I feel like I've noticed since the very beginning of this season that they... were always mounds and bags of trash in front of everyone's apartment. Mm-hmm. And it was just there in the background. And in this episode in particular, when you're seeing, like, all of this crazy police action going on, all of these just bags of trash everywhere. And I feel like I still want... If anyone in the chat out there has a theory as to what all of the trash means, besides the fact that, you know, things are in chaos, I feel like they mean something. And then for the episode to have ended with him getting his trash back with Mr. Robot's jacket in it, I don't know. I feel like there has to be something. Yeah.
There's something about that. Also, am I the only one who was a little weirded out? Who was a little weirded out or unclear over what he gave his jacket up to? Were they buying trash to burn it?
It was confusing.
Yeah, it was 2 ecoin. They were buying stuff for 2 ecoin. I don't know why, though. I think they were burning stuff. That's what it looked like, but I don't know
for
what.
They were burning stuff. Was it just this weird back-end Goodwill? I don't...
But they've been doing that all season, ever since the hack. They've had scenes where, you know, Elliot's walking by and they're burning stuff. That's been there throughout.
Yeah.
I guess they're buying trash to
burn. And maybe that's why
it.
All the trash bags are in front. Because...
But burn it for what, heat?
Yeah. I guess. But then, I don't know. I was lost in this one, guys.
And then, I don't know if I remember correctly, but I thought they had started to burn the jacket. And then all of a sudden the jacket is just fine at the end of the episode.
Because then it's a matter of why wouldn't they have burnt the jacket?
Or did he just literally, again, make up this whole thing and he never donated the jacket? And
right.
It's just all just a big...
And who's running that to the point where, like, all right, well, we know this is Elliot's. We know where Elliot lives. And let's drop it off in front of his apartment while he's walking back to his apartment. It was
like
just...
a boomerang. He sent it out there and it just came back to him from the world.
That's the... poetic version that we're led to believe that if sometimes you make a choice you think is best for you and you kind of sit in that choice for a minute and the universe tells you that that was the wrong choice.
I mean,
that's the poetic but that's the poetic
version
of this whole episode, just symbolized by the jacket.
Yeah.
This show makes us skeptics of the simplest of things. We're like, nah.
I mean, yeah.
No, I don't understand. anything. I don't understand why they didn't burn that jacket. And then they gave him that jacket back, but they didn't give him that jacket back.
Yeah.
Is it the Dark Army?
But is it? That's what I thought. Like, they know where he lives.
Is he in the simulation in Zimbabwe? What is happening?
But my mind went to Dark Army. They know where he lives. They kind of need him to be Mr. Robot at certain points.
Do they
don't
anymore?
But is the jacket maybe that important?
It symbolizes something, and maybe they think he turns into Mr. Robot or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing out possibilities.
That is true. They don't. Elliot doesn't understand the Hulk-like ability to turn between Elliot and Mr. Robot. So how would he?
Anything you think of. I don't know. I don't know. I just found that weird. I found that really weird that the trash gets dropped off as he's entering his apartment. They know where he lives. I don't know. There's no way that was poetic.
I found it weird.
Yeah.
Life can be poetic like that sometimes.
I don't know. Not that poetic.
This show.
I mean, but sort of like taking out the trash in the beginning of the episode, you know, he drops off his dog with a neighbor, which I know some people are still suspicious of. He sort of makes up this fake story to Darlene that, oh, tomorrow we're going to watch all these movies. And like, it's like he's getting rid of all of the things in his life, like trash, you know, before he's about to go and, you know, end it all.
I like that.
And then there was this scene with him and the drug dealer, which was kind of, it was an interesting different character on the show. With
that drug dealer character was fascinating, yes.
Yeah, that we haven't seen. What do you think?
I thought that was a very interesting scene, and I wasn't sure if Elliot was going to get raped by the end of it.
There was a whole thing
tense.
Going down.
Yeah, it was weird.
Something else I wanted to point out. How does Elliot know that drug dealer?
He found him. He hacked Mobley's brother, and Mobley's brother was like doing backdoor deals with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was how it went down. And
okay.
We didn't find out till later.
I remember there was a connection, but I was like, I don't remember what it was.
Because he wanted Mobley to have a funeral that he could hang out in the very back of. Good for you, Elliot. I'd like there to be a big room of people sobbing about my friend Mobley so I can hang out in the back with my hood up.
Yeah.
Thank you, please.
I mean, again, we're seeing the fallout of these two innocent people and just how it messed up their family with Mobley, his brother didn't seem like he cared at all. And then with Trenton, you saw their family. And it was really sad, the scene with Elliot and her father and how, like, you know... And again, it's probably what so many people face right now in America where they're just being target of, like, all this hostility and negativity and people blaming them for all this violence that's not... It's not on them. So that in itself, I thought that was just, like, a good also just, like, mirroring of... our own society.
Also, there's a bit of talk in our chat. Liberty Littman, I'm seeing. Where's the bullet scar? Where's the bullet scar in that
Liberty,
scene where he took his shirt
question.
Off?
Like that's a great question.
Like, that is true. I would have to freeze frame it again, and I'm sure Reddit has. He took off his shirt, and there was no bullet
there
was
scar. Nothing there.
So, like, you're talking timeline, you're talking this.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, like, this is the kind of show... A lesser show, you'd be like, well, maybe they
just forgot.
Now, Sam pays too much attention to detail.
No, that's intentional. It may or may not actually be revealed this season or next week.
I didn't even notice that.
Or, like, whatever, but that is a thing. Good catch, our chat.
Just, like, on really good, like, medicine that, like, just evaporates scars.
Fine.
I don't know.
He held a flux capacitor.
Oh, gosh.
And then it retroactively healed his scars. History's critically acclaimed series, Vikings, has premiered with a two-hour season. Sorry. There was a lot going down there. History's critically acclaimed series, Vikings, just premiered with a two-hour season premiere, aired Wednesday, November 29th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army, while Lagertha reigns as queen of Kattegat? Kattegat. Thank you. Kattegat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for a vicious battle to come as Ragnar's sons plot their next moves after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny in the Mediterranean Sea, and Floki, who is suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, takes to the seas, submitting himself to the will of the gods. This season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Really excited about
that.
Vikings.
Sounds crazy.
And we've got an after show for that.
We do have an after show here. And our engineer, Steve, that's his favorite show. Shout out to you, Steve. I know you like that show a lot. And
I do.
I'm excited about that. It is on History. It will be, I believe it's 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yes.
Ten episode season.
Season five, it's a 10 episode season. So if it premiered on the 29th, it would be 10 weeks from there.
There we go.
Because it's on Wednesdays. The Christmas and New Year's are on. Yeah. Not Wednesdays.
Gotta so have you're, something you're to watch good. During the holidays. You're all good. The other shows are over.
And then watch our after show for it.
Yep.
There you go.
All Someone on the chat mentioned that the last time we saw Elliot in a drug environment, he was in a crack house, and that's when he got shot, and that whole thing was not real. So maybe the scene even with him and the drug dealer, you know, isn't real.
I don't know if I buy that, because then the whole episode, I mean, Muhammad meeting him at the beach while he's about to take...
Well, no, I mean, maybe he just got the drugs another way, but...
Oh, good
I
point.
Mean,
okay. Good point.
Not saying for sure, but there's okay, the, like, just like a reminder that last time...
I don't know,
you know.
We're bordering on St. Elsewhere in the whole episode. Like, we're bordering on, like, so it was all a snow globe? What?
Oh, gosh. Well, no, it's a great laugh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
I broke Josh, guys.
Good job, Steve.
But that's a trope that a show like this naturally dangles the line of a lot. If you can't rely what the narrator does, and you have to call back and retcon things that the viewer literally saw. And once again, this show does this masterfully. I'm just saying they always walk this line of how do things have stakes if you can't trust what you see.
Right.
Take it a step further. What if when Elliot's there in front of the beach, sitting on the sand, what if he did kill himself, and we don't see that, and everything after this is just crazy.
Anything is possible. That's the crazy thing. Like, what you just said is an absolute possibility.
It was all a dream.
But yeah, so Elliot's in the zone when Muhammad like comes up to him and startles him because he's about to, you know, I guess down the pills. He startled me too. I was like, where did you come from, kid? Which is also like, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that kind of lends to the theory of was Muhammad real? Like, do you really think he just followed him that whole way and Elliot just does not notice?
I'm having a hard time believing that. I am. I don't know what it is about it. I mean, the kid was very bright, but I mean, I understand the theory why people think Trenton sent him. Because he was just a little too smart and a little too calculated sometimes. I don't know. I thought he's a figment of Elliot's imagination, but I couldn't tell you. I can't put my finger on what it is about him, but there's something there that we're just not seeing.
I haven't seen anything about the kid other than the fact that no one else other than the fact that no one else directly interacted with him, including his parents.
Yeah.
Which is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And kind of a dead giveaway for this show.
Well, when Elliot left the movie theater, I don't know if you remember, the guy working at the concession stand, he's like, you see a little kid with a hoodie on? And he's like, yeah, he went that way, or he bounced or something like that. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, that's actually the closest we can get. I'm taking it at face value.
Okay.
That the kid actually lived and existed, and that the entire episode, if only because if this whole episode means nothing, then we're back to the dreary.
I mean, it means something.
That
it
we're
was
back
a
to the dreariness
big
of last week.
For Elliot, it just could have been in his head. But no, I do think the kid was real. It's just, I'm still confused as to how he managed to, like, track Elliot. And he was very insistent on hanging out with him, but then also. I wanted to go back to the previous episode with Trenton, where she was like, my brother must be freaking out, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, could have easily been a throwaway line. But I actually feel like they were really close. And, you know, maybe him losing his sister, like, maybe he doesn't talk to his parents that much. Maybe he doesn't have anyone else in the world. And that's why he really just stuck to Elliot like gum, because this was a connection to his
sister.
That's
true. And then what he was saying, you know, I wish if I was president, I would make everyone be nice to me. Like, my heart kind of broke with that. You tell that he doesn't have many friends. People don't take him seriously. He's probably bullied.
His name's Muhammad.
Also, I did like that. I did like that particular exchange, because that's kind of pretty much Darth Vader, actually. Anakin said something very similar to the idea of, like, I'll make them...
Like me.
Like, I'll make them be good. Is the pure... Where it's, like, that's ultimately authoritarian, and it's hard to explain authoritarianism to a child. Right.
So you'd be a dictator? What's that?
I loved that scene, and Elliot's reaction to that was great, because I feel like, typically, an adult would have been like, oh, that's nice, okay. But Elliot just calls him out. He's like, no, that would make you a pretty bad leader. It was just, like, such a cute banter with them. And again, I feel like Elliot's whole... Rami Malek, his face, this whole episode, like... layers and layers of amazing. So much emotion that he was feeling. It was just so good. And just that scene itself, when he comes in, okay, so he runs away from the theater and he finds him at a mosque. And they have this yelling back and forth, almost like a son and a father, which now Elliot, I feel like he's on the other end of the, with him and the relationship he had with his dad. But, like, they have this argument, and he was just like, I wish you were dead, and he yells, so do I. That was, like, such a powerful yeah. moment. It was just, like, hit me hard. I was like, oh, I'm going to fall on the floor crying right now.
Do we want to get to Elliot and Darlene?
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah. You guys don't seem excited to dive into this.
Darlene's actually my favorite character for those.
Okay.
I love Darlene. I love Darlene.
Also, the meme on the subreddit this week has been, there's a lot of Dorothy comparisons, like who's Dorothy between Mobley, Trenton, Darlene, and Elliot. That they're all that, like, Elliot right now, people are claiming Elliot is Dorothy, and that Mobley is the lion, and then it goes, like,
okay, everyone's part of the
you'll have to scroll the
mods.
Subreddit. You'll have to scroll the subreddit. There's four of them.
Oh my goodness.
There's four of them. Elliot has a dog. It's a whole thing.
Oh my god.
It's kind of there. Darlene actually doesn't fit into most of these comparisons. No.
Then wouldn't Elliot be Dorothy?
In these comparisons, Elliot is Dorothy and Darlene's not.
I don't know.
Necessarily. Like,
I mean, this is just someone's.
There's a lot of people.
Ever since people
are talking.
Reddit ruined season two for me, because after the first episode I went on Reddit and they basically debunked the whole, like, Elliot in prison theory, and it ruined the first half of season two for me, so I just stay off Reddit now.
No, that season two reveal, I know some people said they saw it coming. I didn't, so my mind was blown. I was like,
I wasn't sure if I would have eventually saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming after the first episode. I read that and I was like, yep.
I didn't see it coming at all.
It ruined the whole first half of the season for me, and so I'm staying off of those type of things.
It's hard, because sometimes you want to analyze and overanalyze and hear what other people said, but you also don't want to ruin the experience.
Right.
Although I will say, sometimes subreddits for a show with, like, secrets, if you will, like, the people who have the right thing to say sometimes get completely shouted down.
Yeah.
There's a very famous example of the How I Met Your Mother subreddit two seasons before the finale, where somebody pretty much laid out exactly how the show was going to end and had, like, 1,000 downvotes. Whereas, like, everyone was like, that'd be terrible.
Because it was
Why would they ever do that? We'll discuss later. I thought that ending was perfect.
Oh, no. Oh, I can't like you right now. Anyway, let's move on. You wanted to talk about Darlene?
Yeah, let's talk about Darlene.
I don't have more to say. I want to keep talking about Muhammad. I just love that kid so much. And I promise, like, 1,000 favorite moments with him. Even, like, when he drops him back off at the house. And he's like, stay right here. And then Elliot could have easily left because he was trying to get rid of him all day.
Yeah.
And he comes back and he gives him a lollipop. A green one. I don't know what that means, but green. And then his face.
Mm.
Elliot's face. It was just such a good scene. It was like someone giving him such a little amount of kindness. And I feel like that's something Elliot hasn't experienced in who knows how long. Because even the people closest to him, Angela, Darlene, you know, he had felt betrayed by them recently. So that, like, that small act of just being nice and showing someone warmth, that was great.
I agree.
You said it.
Yeah, like, you nailed that. You got that.
Good job.
So I think we talked about everything.
Yeah, we pretty much, I'm trying to think of, like, little
nuggets
in the episode.
So, do you guys think Sam Esmail likes the Martian or hates the Martian? Because, like, there was a lot of shade at first, but then later, you know, Elliot's like, okay, fine, I'll take you to go see the Martian. So I was just like, what's he trying to tell us? I just thought that whole little bit was really funny.
I think he hates the Martian. I think Sam speaks through Elliot sometimes, and I think...
You mean Golden Globe winner for best comedy, The Martian?
Yeah, I think so.
Did it win?
I know
it was nominated.
It was definitely nominated. I feel like it won.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like it... I'm, like, 80% certain that it won. I thought it was okay.
I mean, it wasn't amazing, but I liked it.
I have never seen The Martian.
Okay.
You need to go back.
Go watch movies.
I'll be honest, I don't even watch too much TV. I do a lot of sports stuff here on AfterBuzz. I do a couple of shows. And just for the people watching, Steve is the reason why I'm at AfterBuzz, because the first after show I ever watched was a Mr. Robot after show. And I was like, I want to do this because of Steve.
Yep.
I didn't know Steve.
Well, if you're watching a few shows, Mr. Robot is a great one.
Steve Kaufman is such a major influence on me.
Full circle. Full circle. Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we've got 2 minutes. Let's get into a segment I like to call Reckless Abandoned. Reckless Abandoned.
Meant.
Reckless Abandoned words. Never. We're
reckless
gonna do
abandonment of reason?
We're going to do predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Do we think they halt the 5-9 hack, and do they do it next week? Not halt. Did they undo the 5-9 hack?
Next week?
Yes. No. There's 2 weeks left.
No, not next week. Maybe, but not next week.
My ultimate answer is no. I think Ellie is going to try, and then Mr. Robot's going to take over, and then we're just going to go down that rabbit hole again.
Really? But you think Mr. Robot wants...
I think Mr. Robot and Elliot are going to start being on the same side.
I do too, but I don't think it's going to be to undo the hack. I think they're going to do another hack of some sort. Because there's no way they don't go after E-Corp again. There's just no way. And undoing the hack is kind of, what is that going to do?
I think they undo the hack next week, and then they try and formulate a plan for 2 weeks where they actually go after the corporations that co-opted their
revolution. So another hack that has something to do, nothing to do with what they were doing before, I guess? Or
I don't think Elliot's going to try to go after E-Corp anymore. I feel like he's learned in his lesson that, like, just like, Irving said, like, you kind of can't stop some things. Like, as much as you try, you're just going to make it worse for everyone else. So he has to, if you really want to change things, you're going to have to figure out another way to do it. I think if he were to try to go after E-Corp, it would be regression, because I feel like there's no point in doing that. Like, that's not going to get you the solution you want.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to spew out my grand prediction as it stands right now.
Mm.
Next week, they go into the Sentinel, which is the FBI's thing, and get the encrypted hard drives from Romero, who is also the dad on This Is Us. They grab that.
Love him.
They grab that. They grab that, and then they undo the 5-9 hack.
Okay.
However, while that happens, E-Corp decides they are no longer accepting the U.S. dollar, crashing the U.S. dollar. And that making the prevalence of E-coin the standard bearing currency of the country. Episodes 9 will be spent with F Society trying to crash E-coin, partly for co-opting their revolution, and partly for a couple other reasons. Episode 10 will be all about how this was White Rose's plan to begin with. That White Rose wanted everyone on Bitcoin because Bitcoin needs computing, and White Rose has all the computing.
Interesting.
That's where I am. Okay. Where are you guys?
I like what Phenomenal Classic said. What if the season ends with Elliot watching The Martian, which I could totally see. So is next week the finale?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
This is episode 9.
Yeah, I feel like, this episode we saw Elliot kind of go back to his hacker ways, and we saw that a little bit in the beginning of this season when he was slowly taking down, like, big key members of E-Corp. So I feel like maybe he's going to figure out a way to, like, again, try to stop them, but not, like, from just, like, hacking them and taking them down completely, but just, like, you know, maybe, like, individually, like, the people, like, targeting certain folks and continue doing that. And I lost my other frame of thought. But I do hope we see the kid Muhammad again, maybe.
I want to see more Muhammad.
Because
then it would confirm that he exists.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you never see him again, then of course we would have to.
Of course we're all going to say he doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Never existed.
And he's from Trenton, so maybe they'll make a, which is why Q is so cute. maybe they make even a trip to Trenton. I don't know.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
What do you got, Josh?
I mean, I'm just going to stick to what I said before. I think they're going to try to undo the 5-9. And then I think it's just going to, something's going to flip. With Elliot, I think he's going to become Mr. Robot again. I think we're going to go down that rabbit hole again, where he's like, "All right, I might have failed this time, but I'm going to try something new." And it might have to do with E-coin and Bitcoin, but there has to be some sort of mission where he's hacking something or trying to destroy E-Corp. I can't see him like undoing the hack and then that's it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, in what form, I have no idea.
Well, because even if they undo the hack, like a lot of damage is already done. Unless you're actually doing the whole time travel, different simulations, you're not going to fully undo it. I don't know. And then maybe we'll see Tyrell being installed in some position by White Rose.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely
happening. So quick question. They're all pardoned? Like, they're pardoned for their crimes?
Who are?
Like, Elliot, Darlene, all of them. For hacking.
I think.
Because she was working with the FBI, and now that they have Trenton and Mobley,
is the case solved?
They made it seem like at the end of the other episode when Dom was like looking at the whiteboard, she's like, "Wow, you're really going to get away with this." Like, it kind of seemed like they closed the case.
They closed the case, and I don't think you have to be charged with it. You have to be successfully charged and indicted of a crime to be pardoned. I think they're no longer going to go after Elliot or Darlene.
Or any of the other
people on that board that aren't Trenton or Mobley, who are already dead.
Got it.
And Tyrell, who was exonerated.
So they're off the hook.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
They're off the hook. Like, those two aren't going to be on the run.
Okay.
Speaking of on the run, we do got to run.
All right.
Starting with Josh, where can the people find you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Josh_Rodriguez_. It has been a pleasure. I hope to see you guys soon.
Yeah, and I am Leslie. You can catch me at LeslitaFace because I am Leslie and this is my face on Instagram and Twitter. And then hopefully next week we'll have JC back, right?
I believe we're going to have JC back.
He's out of town this week.
Yes. And I'm Steve Kaufman. As always, you can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMNN. You can also go to thesoberyear.com. That's a blog I'm doing about sobriety. Until next week, we will be talking about Mr. Robot. And goodbye,
Mr. Robot. Bye, guys.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.